We're going to talk about the Raiders as they are on the road for the next 2 weeks, Sunday night primetime at D.C., and then they will be at Denver. Lincoln Kennedy joining us here. Link, how are you, man?
Nape, I'm doing well. You know, this Sunday night game means I don't get back to Oakland until something like 5, 6 o'clock in the morning after it's all said and done. So
I know, Link. Those are brutal. It's brutal. But I got to tell you, it's, you know, you played mostly on the West Coast, but it's worse. It's worse if you're an East Coast team and you're playing Monday night on the West Coast. Then you get back around 8 or 9 in the morning.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, buddy. And I know you know it well, especially with your basketball schedule, traveling with the team. Oh. So I know you know how it goes.
Absolutely. But it's all good. Hey, you know what? Early in the season, to me, you know, you got to win. You worry about getting better and better in each week. But before I talk about that, I want to just get your general thought, because it just seems to me that with the way preseason has played, Link, and how many guys don't really play in the preseason, that the offenses really suffer. It may not be the case necessarily with Oakland, and especially it's tough to get a read when you're going against the Jets, but it just seems a lot of offenses are really struggling early in the season, which do you think is going to be the norm going forward now with the way preseason's played in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think by the next time the two sides revisit the whole CBA, you're going to have a diminished preseason. You're going to probably have it down to just two games, and you're going to add either some regular season games or maybe some playoff spots. You're going to keep a 20-game combination, but it's just going to be a different variation than it is right now, at least a 20-game combination. Some teams have 21 games where they have the extra preseason, but I think it's going to change. To me, the new NFL consists of utilizing the first month, really, to get their players in game shape. Now, it's a little bit, you know, when you think about it, seems a little bit backwards. Why would you use the regular season? Well, here's the thing. One, you don't want to get a significant player hurt in preseason and have nothing to show for it. At least in the regular season, there are settlements and there are things that you can do if that player gets hurt, or there's ways to sort of offset the contract rather than just trying to find some sort of settlement to put them on IR or something like that, and maybe lose a roster spot. So I think coaches are going to be more guarded in the preseason about their starters, and just looking to fine-tune their rosters. And then in the regular season, the first month of the season, they're going to try to get their players in shape, in game-ready shape. Now, when you think about it, that's why you've seen such sloppy football, lack of chemistry. I saw week one with the Tennessee Titans. Mariota and Corey Davis just could not get together on the same page. And you've seen it in various other teams you watch around the league. So it's something that is on a team's radar, but it's something that's also they have to deal with.
Speaking about radar, I love watching the way teams are trying to game plan for Khalil Mack and the way they're blocking him. You know, not only with two guys, but sometimes three guys. And it's just so much fun to watch how teams go out when you know that you have such a stud on the other side of the ball like Khalil Mack.
No doubt. And this is going to be something that he's going to focus on, you know, pretty much his entire career as long as he's a force. Or there's going to be that type of attention. Conversely, on the other side of the ball, last week when the Jets played the Raiders, they bracketed Amari Cooper for most of the game.
Yep.
So, you know, Cooper's going to get double coverage and stuff like that. That's a ton of respect that they pay towards these young athletes. But it also means for the Raiders that someone else is going to have to step up, either on the defensive or offensive side of the ball.
Give me your thoughts, young player with Gary and Conley, and everything that he had to go through to get onto the field and now trying to get caught up to speed. Give me your thoughts on what you see from him.
Well, I felt the Raiders did a good job of managing his snaps last week against the Jets, and we'll see how he does this week against the Redskins. I haven't had a chance to look at the injury report, so I don't know if everything's fine with the practice schedules. But, you know, just getting him acclimated, much to the first question you talked about, using the first couple of games to get everybody in playing shape. It was a similar situation with Donald Penn. You throw him out there for a number of snaps because he had missed most of training camp, or all the training camp, and then you try to catch them up accordingly. And pros are going to be pros, but I've always believed that you can't make the club on the tub and you can't make the club on the sideline. So you got to get out there and do what you got to do in order to show your value and your worth.
I know from a fan's perspective, we can talk about this. If you're on the Raiders, you're just worried about Washington. But I got to tell you, Link, it's already shaping up to be like, wow, the AFC West, you know, you better not slip up on one game, because it could be the difference when you look at how good, and I know it's early, how good both Denver and Kansas City look.
Well, don't sleep don't sleep on San Diego. I know that they have two losses, but they play both teams, Denver and Miami, competitively very, very well. The thing is that this division has been sort of, you know, coming to in its own over the last couple of years, especially when you talk about Denver winning their last Super Bowl not that long ago with that dynamic defense. Now they're trying to catch up on the offensive side. A lot of people had written them off because they didn't know what was going to happen on the offensive side, whether it was going to be Simeon or Paxton Lynch. And now that you've seen Simeon's been able to lead them and get some scores, especially the big win against Dallas, and everybody's eyebrows are raised. And Kansas City did what to New England. There is. This is going to be one of the more competitive divisions in football. I still believe that most of these teams are going to cannibalize themselves. And I was asked earlier today in an interview who I thought the best team in the AFC was, and I said I have to give my nod to Kansas City, mainly because the Raiders haven't beaten Kansas City yet. Derek Carr's 1-5, I think it is, in his last six starts against Kansas City. Until they find a way to get over that hump, you know, they've got my bid. And even though New England is still up there, they do look vulnerable in some places, but the Raiders have yet to beat them yet as well.
We're talking with Lincoln Kennedy right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Has anything through two games surprised you about Marshawn Lynch's play?
No. Much to be expected. I think, you know, here's the thing, Nate. You got one football, and of course, you coming in, an old workhorse like me believes in running the football, ramming it down people's throats, you know, running it 40, 50 times a game. But that's not today's NFL. And more importantly, it's not Derek Carr's Raiders team. Let's face it, he's the franchise quarterback. He's the one who's making a lot of the decisions when they're out there. The way they're managing Marshawn Lynch is right. I think 10 to 12 snaps a game, because he is up there in age, and don't overdo it. You want to have him not only through this point, but you also want to have him through November, December. You've got other weapons to utilize, DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard in the backfield, and we know the receiving corps. So it's not like you just have to hand it off like he did in Seattle, which is one of the reasons that ran him out the game, as much as Seattle wanted to use him running the ball.
Link, there's a lot of teams right now that are really struggling with their offensive line, and I'm just curious to get your opinion on why that is. And do you think anything has to do with the way the game's being played at the collegiate level, or is there more to that? Why do you think so many teams have so many problems offensively with their line?
It's the collegiate level. It's also the CBA. It prevents guys from developing, and this is their job. Imagine, Nate, if someone told you they want you to do voiceover work, but they wouldn't let you practice voiceover work, how are you supposed to get better?
That's a great point.
If the same thing goes with the NFL, because they have rules in place where coaches cannot actually be on the field with players, working them out, doing things with them, because if it's filmed and turned into it's a CBA violation, which discourages me most as an analyst and a former football player. The fact is that I understand why you did it in college. You want to respect the hour rule and you want guys to concentrate on school. I understand that. But in professional, why do you have a certain amount of hours that you can work? This is their job. This is the coach's job. You don't sit there and tell somebody, well, I want you to do a full day's of work, 8 hours a day of work, but I want you to get it done in 2 hours. And you can't come back for more. But yet, you know, that's how it just doesn't make
yeah.
sense. So when you look at it, it's the college game. It's the way the college game is being played. There's a lack of development on the college level, and there's even a more blatant lack of development on the professional level. And much to that point that we made on Twitter after the Monday night game, talking about Eric Flowers, I'm a big guy of body language. I watch people's body language before and after play. His confidence is completely shot. He has no clue, and every time he gets beaten for a sack, the three next plays he's out there, he holds profusely. So, you know, the Giants did a tremendous disservice by not getting any help. More importantly, you know, trying to run this offense without addressing their offensive line needs. And to me, it's a shame. It's disgusting to watch or disappointing to watch, because every announcer on national TV is going to point it out to everybody how bad he's playing.
All right, now let me ask you this. I've watched the guy play every game in his three-year career. And I would say, as objective as I can be, I haven't seen a stitch of improvement in his game from year
yeah.
one to now, and he's now in his third year.
Totally agree.
All right, so I ask you this then, and again, I'm not even picking on the Giants here. I would say this about any team. At what point do you not try something different? And then number two, when you watch a player play at the offensive tackle position, which you played, can you tell immediately when we hear about players and we always hear, well, gee, they don't have the proper technique. I don't really know what the hell that means, but you do. And so, you know, I don't know if that's just an excuse for, you know, but when you see a player like Eric Flowers, for instance, all right, and the replays look bad, But you can see a player like that. What immediately comes to your mind when you see them having so many issues?
Well, the first thing, just specifically talking about Flowers, because his confidence is shot, the first place where he places his hands are the outside. He's trying to grab the guy.
Okay.
Okay, so that's either a holding penalty, or and the other thing is he's playing too high. So if you look at this Detroit game, Ziggy ran through his chest on a couple of those sacks because he was so high. And what I mean ran through, he bull rushed him, went down the center of him, and pushed him back into Eli Manning, or just pushed him back to where he fell over. So he had no clue of how to stop an undersized a guy who's good strength, but still undersized compared to Eric Flowers. So when you talk about your – one of your original questions was, can you tell if a guy has it or not? You can usually tell a guy has it after the first couple of games, because as they get acclimated to the speed of the game, they either figure it out or they regress so they can't get it. My point is it's been 3 years of regression when it comes to that young man, and it's unfortunate that the Giants haven't at least addressed it. Now, there's only two things that can happen in this scenario, just talking about Eric Flowers. He either has to get – trade it or sent away from New York because the media will always harass him as long as he's in a Giants uniform. Or they might have to try during the season to put him at another position, maybe at guard or something like that, to see if he can play on the offensive line. Those are the only two options. He can't play left tackle.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if he could play right tackle because it's still a level of exposure with that offense.
Hey, Link, you remember when the Raiders drafted Robert Gallery fourth overall and they wanted to make him, you know, again, their left tackle after starting at right tackle, then left tackle, and he couldn't do it. And you know what? And they realized that, and so he moved to guard. And to me, that just like, okay, we've seen it with a high pick. And again, Flowers was taken eighth. I saw it with Robert Gallery, and I'm not saying he was an all-pro guard, but he was a lot better at guard than tackle, correct?
Right. That is correct. And one of the things that got in the Gallery's head, and I don't think it was the same for Eric Flowers, but one of the things that got – he had several different offensive line coaches because you know the coaching decisions that came over with the Raiders. So he was confused when I watched him, his technique. I came back around the team. He was confused because there was half the time his feet were backwards than his hands going up to the line because he was so offset by all the coaching and everybody that taught him. He couldn't make heads or tails of what he was able to do.
Link, have a safe journey, and we'll talk to you next week, buddy. Be good.
Thanks, brother. Thanks. Take
all right.
care, buddy.
Good stuff right there from Lincoln Kennedy right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.